Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's Card D Sharks time. We are playing for $50 at any of the Jester Concepts restaurants. So let's go. 651-461-9226. I need two contestants. I was at Burrow last night, and I was at Butcher and the Boar, their new patio. And Jester is doing huge stuff. They just opened a restaurant called Mirabelle and Excelsior, and I was trying to get a reservation, and I couldn't.
that's a tough one.
That's a tough reservation. Brand new, so I'm going in a couple weeks. But they're doing great stuff. So Parlor, you're a Parlor fan,
oh,
right?
Yeah, the
Parlor
for sure. Burger. Yeah, can't go wrong.
So you can use that at all of their restaurants, and sort of their hidden secret restaurant that I think is really beautiful is Starling in Edina, where it's lush, like tropical plants everywhere. And so that's another one of their restaurants. So Dan is hooking us up. We got, I think our contestants are lined up. Everybody wants a gift card today. Why not? Why not? And we have a Card D Sharks poem ripped from the headlines. Rip, as always, Kristen, the poet laureate of Drive Time's Card D Sharks, has come through big time. Dan's got the contestants. Let's go. Let's play Card D Sharks. The trade deadline has passed. What did the Twins get? A double-A pitcher and decrease in debt. This game, you'll owe nothing. There's no money in play. A gift card you could win if the victor today. On Card D Sharks. All right, Mark Fry helping us out today. We are streaming this live on Facebook and on YouTube, so you can watch the game if you'd like. Chris is in Waconia. Chris, thanks for calling. Welcome to Card D Sharks.
Thanks.
How are things in Waconia today?
They're good. I'm just pulling in there from work. So.
Oh, nice.
We'll see.
Traffic was okay?
394 is a bear, but yeah.
What is your favorite hangout in Waconia? I've done a bike ride. Have you ever ridden your bike out to Waconia, Mark?
I've not, but I've heard it's a good.
It's a great place. Ride. Yeah. Great ride. Where do you like to hang out in Waconia, Chris?
Probably either around the lake or at Lola's.
Lola's is awesome. Yeah, Waconia is a great town. Very good. Well, stand by, Chris. Patty is your competition in Minneapolis. Patty, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm outstanding. It's Friday. I wish it wasn't so smoky, you know, but it's otherwise life is good. Where are
Yeah.
Has the smoke been kind of changing your summer at all?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Then I got COVID too, so it hasn't been the best summer.
No. Well, maybe we can turn it around with the Card D Sharks win for you. $50 at any of the Jester Concepts restaurants. You know, I've taken sort of the Trumpian view of COVID that if you don't test, you don't know. And so there's an option, too. It's a kind way to take care
that's
of others.
That's very true. I mean, that's a good way.
If you don't test, you never know, yeah. Patty. That's what, you know.
Unless you feel like crap.
Unless you feel like crap, and then you do sort of know, don't you? All right, here's how we play. We have a survey of 100 people. I will direct the first question to Chris. Chris will give a number between 0 and 100, and then Patty will say higher or lower, and then we go to the board. We've dealt out the cards, and so here we go. The first question is to you, Chris. Are you ready?
Yeah.
We asked 100 married women, have you ever pretended to be asleep to avoid intimacy with your husband? How many women said, oh, yeah, I have pretended to be asleep because I wasn't quite in the mood or quite up for it? Chris, are you married?
I am.
And I'm sure your wife would never do such a thing to you, right?
No way.
It's either incredible confidence or total delusion.
I was going to say that was.
I like it, though. I like it. Mark, your wife would never do anything like this, right? My wife, for sure, has pretended to be asleep to avoid intimacy with me, just to be clear.
I was going
to
say.
This is not some.
I love the clarification.
Right.
With you.
Yeah, just okay. to be clear. What do you think? How many, between 0 and 100, Chris, how many women will say, yep, I've pretended to be asleep?
I'd say 64.
64, says Chris. Patty, are you married?
I'm not married. I'm divorced.
You're divorced. Did you ever pull this when you were married?
Yes.
And did that lead to the divorce?
No.
I mean, you never know. I feel like it's an acceptable move to protect. You got to consider the male ego. Like, wouldn't you rather that your partner is pretending to be asleep versus, like, she just telling you straight up, like, not happening tonight, cowboy, you know? I'd rather have
right,
the pretend.
Right.
Yeah. What do you think, Patty?
What do you think, Patty?
Yeah. Chris says 64. Patty, do you think it's higher or lower?
I'm going to go higher.
All right, Patty goes higher. The actual number of women who say they've pretended to be asleep to avoid intimacy with their husband is 63.
Wow.
What a guess. Excellent guess by Chris, but just one off, a little bit lower. So, Chris, you get control of the cards. Do you want the red cards or the blue cards?
I'll take the blue cards.
All right, Chris takes the blue. And so Mark's going to flip over your opening card, and your first card becomes a queen. A nice start for you, Chris. You've got a queen. You want to go higher or lower than the queen?
I will go lower.
All right, lower than a queen. Mark gives you a five. It is lower than a queen. And now you have a decision to make. You could freeze. And that blocks out Patty of getting a turn if you're wrong, and it preserves your card. Or you could go for it on a five, higher or lower. What do you say, Chris?
I'll go higher.
All right, Chris going for it, higher than a five. It is higher. It is a nine. And Chris, you're cooking, just two cards to turn over. But again, that nine, one of those up the middle cards. So you're faced with a decision here. Do you want to freeze on the nine, or do you want to go for it? Chris, what do you say?
I will go lower.
Oh, Chris going for it. Lower than a nine. Oh, no, it's a 10. It's a little higher. And that means, Patty, you get a free shot at the cards. Your cards are the red. Mark nailing it. But let's flip over Patty's red card here. And, Patty, you start with a deuce. A two is where you begin. Higher or lower than a two?
I'll go higher.
Of course, higher than a two. It is a 10. It is higher. And Patty, 10s can be a little tricky. It's up to you. You want to go higher, lower, or freeze on the 10?
I think I'll freeze.
All right, Patty freezes, and we're going to freeze as well. We'll take a break. When we come back, more with Chris, more with Patty. Card D-Sharks for $50. Thanks to our friends at Jester Concepts here on Drive Time.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Card D-Sharks, in effect, we're streaming on YouTube on the WCCO radio channel. Mark Fry doing the Laura Oakes gig today. Dan running the sound effect. And we got two great contestants here, Chris in Waconia and Patty in Minneapolis. And Patty, the next question goes to you. We asked 100 men, would you be embarrassed to buy a pack of diapers at the store? 100 men, would you be embarrassed to buy a pack of diapers? Now, there are things at the store, Mark, that maybe I would be a little embarrassed to buy, you know? But
such as?
Well, you know,
we're waiting for you.
The feminine I'm product? Thinking... The feminine
no,
product?
I'm
maybe?
Saying Jason.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh.
I don't know, diapers though? Mark, you're a new dad. You've no, been buying a, diapers,
it's
right?
It's a badge of honor. The other people are like, wow, look at that dad. He's
can I just inquire, did they specify baby diapers?
Well, the question just says diapers.
Because, you know.
You'd be embarrassed to buy adult diapers?
I could see where that would be a little yeah. bit, you know, intimidating to buy an adult diaper.
What do you think, Patty? You've heard the nonsense from our crew. How many men do you think would be embarrassed to buy a pack of diapers?
I'm going to say like 22%.
22, says Patty. Chris, would you be embarrassed to buy a pack of diapers?
No, I have a 3 and a 6 and a 1-year-old, so
oh,
no.
Yeah. This is part of your life.
Yeah.
I remember those days. I will tell you, my family budget is happy. Well, I don't know. You just end up spending money on different stuff for your kids. The bills don't necessarily go down as the kids get out of diapers. But anyway, what do you think? Higher or lower than 22?
Higher.
All right. Chris says higher. The actual number of men who said they'd be embarrassed to buy a pack of diapers. And I should say people in the YouTube chat room are guessing along. Patty said 22. The answer is 22. You got
wow.
it right on the button.
Wow.
Both of these guesses have been so good today. You guys are doing great. So, Patty, you get control of the red cards. Mark is got the cards ready for you. Now, you're out of 10. You can change the 10 because you got the question right, or you can roll with the 10 and go higher or lower. What do you want to do?
I'm going to change the 10.
All right, let's change the 10, and Mark will replace it. The 10 becomes a 2. Wow. All right. That's a great
nice.
Change for you. Higher or lower than the 2?
I'll go higher.
All right, higher than a 2. It is a king. It is higher. Now you're cooking. 2 cards separate you from that $50 gift card. You're on the king. Higher or lower or freeze on the king?
Lower.
Lower than a king. It is a 3.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Chris, I'm nervous for you. 1 card away, okay. Patty. You're on that 3. Higher or lower than a 3?
I gotta go higher.
Higher than a 3. It's a queen,
hey!
And we have a winner. Patty, we said we were going to turn things around for you, and you did it. You won $50 at Jester Concepts. You're a Minneapolis resident, so you probably know Butcher and the Boar and Parlor and Burrow and all those great restaurants. So congratulations.
Oh, yeah. I'm in Northeast, so, yeah, I get a lot. Yep, I know all of them. So
excellent.
Great.
Well, you can
awesome.
Use them at any of those restaurants. Stay on the line. Dan will get your information. Chris, you are a great contestant. I'm sorry the cards didn't go your way today. Thanks for listening, and thanks for calling in.
Yep, thank you.
Really fun. Chris in Waconia, have a great night. Chris was a little happier at the beginning of the operation.
Yeah, kind of a change of tone there.
It happens.
Right.
It happens. Yeah. But he made it home.
It's Friday, man. Yeah. He's coming home.
The real win for Chris was surviving 394 traffic.
Exactly.
So
very
that
true.
Was the win. Yep. Mark, thanks for your help.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It.
Good luck with the diapers, Mark.
Don't be embarrassed. It is true. There is. Look, when you're a man, the bar for society to look at you as a good dad or a look what he's doing is so unthinkably low that
right.
just going
That's
to the
true.
Store and getting diapers will have other. And it's women who praise you, which I think is the most astonishing thing.
Yeah, I think, you know, traffic comes to a halt and people just kind of stop in their tracks and
yeah.
their mouth a little open.
Look
at that dad.
Look
at that dad.
Buying diapers.
As it should be.
Oh.
What a good dad. I have people, and this always cracks me up. Like, if I post a picture on social media with my kids, people are like, you know, you are such a good dad. And I'm like, I have done literally the bare minimum of parenting here. I am in the same space with my children. That's it. That's all that picture really
right.
tells you.
Yep.
The bar is low. It is one of the best things about being a man in society.
Nobody really expects much from us.
The bar is incredibly low. Yeah. Just surpassing the minimal expectations. That actually is the theme of this show. Surpassing minimal expectations from 3 to 6 every day.
Put that on a billboard.
It's going to be on a liner on Monday.
I mean, I'd have to buy the damn billboard if we we did it. This place.
What about a t-shirt? Should that be our state fair t-shirt? Surpassing the minimum expectations.
That's not a bad idea.
Thank you. I do stumble blindly into one once in a while.
I like it. 425.
Again, you're going to have to pay for it, though.
That's true.
They're not going to spring for that.
If anybody wants to print t-shirts for our show, I will maybe reimburse you. If I can get a sponsor, we could put the sponsor logo on the t-shirt.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Surpassing minimum expectations on the front, sponsor logo on the back. Perfect.
Who wouldn't want to be affiliated with that campaign?
I mean, you know, jason@odyssey.com.
Right.
If you're a business person that wants to be on the t-shirt.
We're here to close deals.
Absolutely.
We're here to close deals.
That's what we do.
The Twins closed a lot of deals yesterday.
Oh, mama.
Our friend Dan Hayes, who I ran into on the street.
Hopefully not literally.
Last night, well, he was on the phone, so I didn't want to interrupt him. But Dan was outside Burrow, right in the North Loop as well, right outside Parlor and Burrow. We'll check in with Dan because he's got a very interesting story about how everything went down yesterday and the couple days before, especially as it pertains to Carlos Correa.
Which is a fascinating,
really
great story.
So you're going to want to hear more from Dan. So we'll do that in just a couple minutes. Weather and traffic. The breaking news is that the air quality alert has been extended through Monday.
Come on, Canada.
Sick of it. Drive Time continues right here on CCO.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Twins fans, how you doing? I know. It was painful. It was painful yesterday for sure. A total of 10 players plus Randy Dobnak traded away by the Minnesota Twins. When you look at the grades that people are giving, and nobody really knows what the heck they're doing, the grades are not terrible for the Twins. The Athletic gave them a B, but when you're grading a team on their chosen objective, which was selling,
yes.
Well, yeah, they did a hell of a job selling.
10 players off of the 26-man roster. I don't remember the last time somebody did a sell-off like that. Certainly not in Twins history.
The fan frustration is directed in a lot of different ways, right? So on the one hand, you have people who are frustrated at Rocco Baldelli for
being the manager.
That's
just, you know, it's a natural place for people's ire to go.
It's understandable.
Sure.
I think there's frustration towards the front office where you say, you, Derek Falvey, assembled this team. You are responsible for this farm system. So, like, where did we go wrong? 2 years ago, we were breaking the curse and winning a playoff. Then the payroll gets cut by $30 million, which I will maintain that spending $30 million more or $50 million more would not have changed the fact that the Minnesota Twins players, who were so effective during the front two-thirds of last season, do you think an extra $30 million would have prevented the epic collapse of the team that we had at the end of last year? I don't.
In its entirety, no.
It might have given you more cushion. It
may have given you a little more
cushion.
But
you also might have spent that on a clunker.
And it also would have given you better PR going into that season. I think that fans would have been a lot more forgiving.
Correct.
Of the collapse.
They still would have blamed the Bulldogs, to a degree,
but not with the vehemence, not with the vitriol that we saw.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to be real. Like, cutting payroll after winning a playoff game is weird. It's not what teams normally do.
That's the big thing.
It's just not.
There is a logical thread that gets you there.
Yeah, I understand
why they did it. What they were thinking.
TV revenue was all in flux. Fans, even after a successful season, were still not showing up to the games at the level they had been before. So they were losing There was lost revenue in that perspective. Mm-hmm. So you understand from a logical standpoint, but also like the value of the team is going up and up and up and up. And you're like, we know you're going to sell at some point and extract that value. So pony up today. Like, I get it. I get it. There's also a question of like, what happened to Carlos Correa? $33 million. A great leader. But his performance, not what you would expect. That leadership of Carlos Correa was on display in a really dramatic way in a fantastic story by Dan Hayes in The Athletic today. Dan is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. And Dan, you know, first of all, like, have you had a chance to, like, take a breath after an absolutely crazy day yesterday?
You may have been the one person in the world to see me taking that first breath. Like, I was walking in North Loop, and I looked over, and I was like, that's Jason DeRusha at dinner. And I'm on the phone with my dad wearing a T-shirt and flip-flops. It was the first time I left my house in 13 hours of being awake. It was an insane day. And it was like, yeah. So, yes, I've taken a little bit of a breath, but no, honestly, it's picking right back up today because – now there was so much stuff yesterday to just unpack, and now is a chance to kind of try and do that because everybody's around us, and so it's not the same level of insanity as yesterday, but it's going to be a busy weekend. Just let's say that
the Twins, you know, dealing so many players is just something we haven't seen before in this town. I don't know if you look across baseball, have you guys been able to find a similar sell-off where a team got rid of 10 players? It was quite dramatic.
I mean, I have not looked into it. I haven't had the time to.
Yeah.
But I don't recall something like this. Maybe, was the Herschel Walker trade a 12 for 1?
maybe that's the comparison. Yeah.
But like, honestly, in baseball, you've seen some crazy deadlines over the years. I remember the Miami Marlins in 2011 or 12. They had signed Jose Reyes, Mark Burley, and Heath Bell, all these amazing contracts. And they quickly realized that the business plan was not good, and they sold all of them in either one offseason or one deadline, I can't remember, the next year. And it was stunning because it was like, oh man, they just signed all these guys. They promised them they've moved there. They promised them this life, and now they are trading them. And then, granted, those guys still got paid, and that's great. But like, Mark Burley all of a sudden is going to Toronto and out of nowhere, right? And that was, to me, one of the more absurd things. This is so much different. This blows that out of the water. How much over, like, just things got turned around and the table got overturned. Basically 10 guys in 3 days is insane. It's weird because the fans are furious and understandably so. And yet, like, it's just a weird, it probably had to happen. Things were going so poorly here with the team. They need a turnaround. They need to get talent. They need to get younger, especially if the financial lack of flexibility continues on. Who knows when this sale happens? I guarantee you the sale played a big, it was a big driver in this. The team needs to sell. Like, frankly, the team just needs to sell. It was 100% behind this. I mean, clearly the Twins need to get better, but there's no way they would have dug as deep as they did if there was a new owner. There's no way a new owner would have signed off on it. Teams with new owners usually increase the payroll and want to keep talent, especially fan favorites. And I don't think, I honestly think Derek Salvi's hand was pretty forced here.
So unpack that a little bit. Why do you think, was this the Pollad family, in your view?
I don't think there was anything as far as a directive from them to say, you got to cut payroll. I think this was a recognition that, man, if we want to get the baseball back on track, we're going to have to be extremely creative and just bring in a massive talent, which they did at different levels, so that they can then pair some of these guys with other players and offload them. This is like part one of it, because I think the offseason is going to be very interesting unless there's a new owner that comes in and has a bunch of money. Because, I mean, look, they added a ton of talent, but they wrecked their bullpen. Yeah. And they still are stuck with the same position side, with the exception of Correa and a few guys are gone. But, you know, on that position side, it's not like we saw them dig deep and trade guys that are going to be – we didn't see Larnick go. We didn't see Brian Jeffers go. We didn't see Royce Lewis go. Those are guys that are still going to be here in the future, and they need to get better on the position side in a hurry. I mean, they are, like, bottom five as far as – teams in baseball. They're probably bottom two in athleticism. The offense has not been good.
Well, that's sort of the problem, right? Like, I mean, the pitching has been not what we had hoped to see from them, but the reality is it's the hitting and the offense that have really, you know, sort of handcuffed the Twins.
Yeah, it's let them down without question. I think the pitching side was really good for the first 2 months, and then a major injury to Pablo Lopez kind of crushed them. Let's be honest. But you have an elite performer once every 5 days, and you pair him with Joe Ryan, and then Bailey Ober is pretty good that third day, and then Bailey Ober had, you know, one of the worst of his career, and gave up the third most home runs of any pitcher in Major League history in June. You take away Pablo and you take away Bailey, and you're piecing it together, the pitching falls apart. But the potential is there. Now they have depth. They have better depth to handle. Taj Bradley's really good. I think the Kendry Rojas kid that they got in the Louis Varland trade, they're very excited about. Mick Abel that they got in the Philly trade, they're very excited about. They have options. This is it's intriguing. It may make them more able to consider a Pablo or Joe Ryan trade in the offseason if they have to go that way to get their position side better.
So explain, I think the, and I'm going to get into your story where you talk about sort of the initial conversation that Carlos Correa had with Derek Falvey on Wednesday that sort of led to this. We're talking with Dan Hayes, clearly at the ballpark, so you're going to hear some sounds in the background. That's how this goes. But tell us, you know, the Louis Varland trade is the one that I think has made fans most perplexed, because he was under team control for a number of years. He wasn't making a lot of money. He had really been blossoming in the bullpen. And, you know, explain that. Like, why move Louis Varland?
They felt like the offer they received from Toronto was so good that they couldn't pass it up. And, they, you know, the man, I can't even remember his name. I think it's Alan Rohde.
Alan Rohden, yeah, and Kendry Rohde, Rojas.
That's right. Yeah. So Rohde is here. They're very excited. And I've heard from a lot of people, you know, he's an older prospect. He's 25, but a very consistent offensive performer. And just needs a shot, and wasn't going to get that shot in Toronto. But Kendry Rojas, I've had more people reach out to me and say, oh, that's not interesting, that's good. And it's so they felt like that was a trade they couldn't pass up when that came across their desk 5 minutes before the deadline. And obviously, earlier than 5 minutes before the deadline. But between that and Griffin Jack, they felt like they were getting so much good value back. You don't get controllable starters for controllable relievers. And by the way, I'm pretty sure this is the loudest stadium in the entire world. So I apologize for the background noise. There's a pretty good party apparently going on in Cleveland tonight.
Cleveland, I know. They are rocking out for sure. For sure. Yeah, well, they're excited to see Rohde out in left field. And
they are.
You know, they're all showing up. This lineup that I looked at for tonight's game, which will be right here on WCCO Radio, pregame starts at 5:30. It's not a straight-up new-look lineup, right? Like, a lot of this is still the same. I think when you see the 10 players, the reality is this is the bullpen got cleared out. It's not the everyday starting players other than Carlos Correa.
Correct. I mean, we still have Royce Lewis here. Austin Martin's back. Edward Julian's back. Players that fans have seen over the years are part of this mix right now. There's a few, you know, newer guys like Pearson Ohl came back to pitch. Travis Adams is back. Ryan Fitzgerald, the shortstop, is back. He had a cup of coffee in May. There's a few guys here and there that are relatively new, but there's going to be a lot of familiar faces still on the position side. That's why I think this is just part one of moves, because they got to do something to get this team to be – if you're not going to hit the ball out of the park like the Bomba squad, then you need to be a more athletic bunch and a much better defensive team. And I don't think they would go as far as, say, like the Milwaukee Brewers, who is small ball.
Right.
But I do think that they need to find a happy medium between what this is, which I guess you could say it's sort of lethargic as a whole, as a group, which with good bats, potentially, but these bats haven't done what they're supposed to. They need to find a way to break this up. And I just think that'll happen. Either a lot of guys wake up over this last one-third of the season and reach their level and make the team reconsider, or we'll probably see some more, you know, more moves in December, January, and February.
Yeah. Dan, before you go, I just wonder if you could give us a quick picture, and people should go to theathletic.com and read the piece that you and Kem Rosenthal wrote inside the final hours of the Carlos Correa era, because you talk about how Carlos being moved, and I would say I don't think fans are that upset about Carlos being moved, but it really sounded like this was more Carlos sitting down with Derek Falvey, Falvey saying, we got to blow this thing up, and Carlos saying, well, that's not really what I signed up for. If you can make a deal for me to go home to Houston, I'd like to go home.
And I mean, you just synopsized that extremely well. That's exactly what happened. And you know, amid all that stuff going on, like Wednesday was one of the weirdest days I've ever been around in professional baseball. So much confusion. Jack's blowing up at Rocco and Jace Tingler for getting pulled. Willie Castro walking off the field and everybody thinking he'd been traded. It was just so awkward. I would say that the 3 days, the minute Chris Paddock got traded, it just put this whole organization in a spot where they were extremely waiting for the next shoe to drop. It was almost fragile. It just felt like everybody was on high alert. And we saw it play out in a bunch of different ways over those 3 days. You know, it didn't get any easier. And it's funny because Carlos did some really good work with Griffin at the end. They had a meeting with Rocco after the blow-up, and they came to an understanding, the three of them. But, I mean, talk about just an ugly scene, and that was Griffin Jackson's last. It was very weird, strange. I'm glad it's over, but now there's the fallout to kind of document. It's going to be interesting.
Dan Hayes, we appreciate you. Have a good time with the party going on in Cleveland right now. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Jason.
All right. Check out Dan's story. It's so interesting talking about the emotion behind this. You get more of a sense as to what Derek Falvey was thinking and how Rocco was reacting. Really good stuff at The Athletic to check that out. We'll break. We are going to take the temp of the team. If you would like to text in with how, you know, we do the temp of the team, what is your temp? 651-461-9226. Drive Time back in a minute.
Let's take the current temp of your Minnesota Twins. Brought to you by Chef IQ Sense. Get your wireless meat thermometer now at chefiq.com.
We're trying to come up with a creative temp for the team.
Yeah.
And a texter asked if we know what the temp of liquid nitrogen is at LN2. The boiling point is negative 196 Celsius.
That's cold.
Yeah.
It's very, very cold.
I was thinking that the current temp of the Twins is boiling hot.
Just not in a good
radioactive
way.
Radioactive hot.
That's what we were trying to think. You know, yes. What's the, you know, radioactive? What's the temperature of, you know, plutonium? I mean, what, you know, that sort of thing. It's just such a weird time with everything that went down yesterday. And you don't know what to think about this club right now.
It is. It's going to be very, you know, emotionally for, you know, the Joe Ryans, the Royce Lewis's, the Byron Buxton. Byron is who I've been thinking about. I'm like, man, it's got to be so strange to be Byron right now. He is on the injured list.
He is.
And I bet he's glad. It's got to be tough. Yeah, and there's the emotional part of this. All of us think about, like, whenever you have a coworker, and some of this is the business of baseball, right? But, like, these are sort of your buddies. And then you're like, and now we've got who? Who all is on this team? What happened to all my guys? It's, I think it's weird, Dan, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're Byron, you signed up with an extension trying to win championships, and that doesn't seem to be on the near horizon.
Yeah, I mean, the flip side is, like, if you like seeing kind of the kids and see what happens. Now, it would be nice if they would lower the prices to be like St. Paul Saints prices.
Sure.
Right? If that's what we're doing. Local news coming up. D-Rush Hour news headlines. We got that for you. Twins pregame on the air at 5:30. I'm going to want to hear what the... Actually, we did bring up a double-A broadcaster to do the game. Feels right, doesn't it?
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.